You want a good Skeptoid episode topic? Well, here's a piece of false history that needs to be debunked. Women have historically not been very big contributors to science. I mean, until recent decades, you never heard the names of any, and they never won any Nobel Prizes. So they must not have been there, right? Wrong. Today we have some solid evidence to debunk that myth. Unsung Women of Science are coming right up on Skeptoid. Head on over to skeptoid.com/store and explore the Skeptoid store where curiosity meets cool. We have books, socks, shirts, hoodies, and more. Check out our slick new Bigfoot design, where the mystery of this legendary cryptid never looked so good. And while you're here, don't forget to grab a Skeptoid USB drive, your portal to all episodes and all our movies, now including the UFO movie They Don't Want You to See. That's not all we have planned. We have a lineup of way more cool stuff coming soon. So head on over, skeptoid.com/store, and snag your swag. This episode of Skeptoid is sponsored in part by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com. Unsung Women of Science. Ask someone to name a woman scientist, and it's a virtual certainty you'll get Marie Curie. Who's second place on that list? To answer that, I am reminded of the initial running of the America's Cup yacht race in 1851, when the America was so far ahead that Queen Victoria had to ask, "Who is second?" Her attendant gave the famous answer, "Your Majesty, there is no second." Marie Curie truly is the only woman scientist whose name is widely known. Perhaps in a pinch, a few people might come up with Jane Goodall, the primatologist made famous by television. And if really, really pressed, some might remember the computer pioneer Ada Lovelace, or may have heard that the actress Hedy Lamarr had patented something or other. You could probably ask 100 lay people on the street to name a woman scientist and not get any other name. This shouldn't surprise anyone, considering the lack of credit women scientists have received. Before 1950, only 3 women were given Nobel Prizes in the sciences. By the year 2000, had that number gone up much? What do you think? It had only increased to 10. That is a gobsmackingly small number. Certainly, no rational person agrees that only 10 women had an equal impact on science as over 400 Nobel Prize-winning men. In answer to this challenge, the internet has been graced with various lists of overlooked women scientists. Unfortunately, most of these lists online all include only the same 10 women, or often just a subset of them, as if someone once made a list and nobody ever did any further research. It's an impressive 10, although not one of them won a Nobel Prize. Fully 7 of the 10 worked with male colleagues who did later win one for the work she had either led or shared in. These 10 women are Vera Rubin, born 1928, discovered evidence for dark matter in the universe. Cecilia Payne, born 1900, made early determinations of the chemical makeup of stars. And Ida Tack, born 1896, the first to describe nuclear fission. And these next 2 women died before a Nobel Prize was awarded to their colleagues and were thus ineligible to share in it. Henrietta Leavitt, born 1868, made it possible to measure the distance of faraway galaxies. And Rosalind Franklin, born 1920, discovered the helical structure of DNA. These 5 women were still alive when their male colleagues were awarded Nobel Prizes and are all generally thought to have deserved it. Nettie Stevens, born 1862, discovered the X and Y chromosomes. Qinsheng Wu, born 1912, Manhattan Project scientist who disproved an early accepted particle theory. Esther Lederberg, born 1922, made a number of important discoveries in bacterial genetics. Lisa Meitner, born 1878, nuclear physicist who did important work on transuranium elements. And Jocelyn Bell Burnell, born 1943, discovered pulsars. As a result of these 10 women's frequent mentions online, they all now have very nice Wikipedia pages, and to some extent have arguably been rescued from the back roads of obscurity. This only leaves uncounted scores, hundreds, perhaps thousands of women, who made significant contributions and are still virtually unknown. There are two important questions that this raises. First is, why don't more women go into the sciences? And equally important is, why are the ones who do treated as second-class citizens? A lot of the same causes affect women in other fields where they're equally underrepresented. In addition to the familiar factors of lack of encouragement, teasing, and stereotyped feelings like, women just don't do that, we have the deeply entrenched good old boys network that permeates so many fields and leads to biases, inequality of pay, and passing over for promotions. Women tend to be more impacted by the need to provide childcare and have a tougher time balancing this with graduate school. And in an interesting twist that is unique to the sciences, women tend to change their names when they get married. The need to publish and establish a reputation by name is key to a science career, and a changed name often results in a forgotten person. So let's give a spot of recognition to a few names that are hopefully unfamiliar to you, starting with a group of six. The ENIAC Six. The ENIAC was the first truly programmable computer, and while the men who designed its hardware are well known, the six women who essentially invented computer programming were largely ignored at the time. Kay McNulty, Betty Jennings, Betty Snyder, Marilyn Westcoff, Fran Bielus, and Ruth Lichterman would spend days or even weeks figuring out how to solve a specific problem, such as calculating the trajectory of an artillery shell, by setting switches and connecting patch cables. Yvonne Brill, born in 1924, this rocket scientist is best known for developing the electrothermal hydrazine thruster that's still used today. Brill was probably the only American woman working as a rocket scientist in the 1940s, and she was still in her 20s at the time. She had degrees in mathematics and chemistry. Annie Jump Cannon. Born in 1863, she deserves credit just for how awesome her name is, but what's truly staggering is the scope of her contribution to astronomy. She classified some 400,000 stars. Cannon cataloged them by brightness and by their chemical spectrum, which was her particular specialty. She developed improved methods for spectral analysis that are still used today. Emmy Noether, born in 1882, this mathematician was one of Albert Einstein's closest and most prolific advisors. Under pressure from the community to award her a professorship, Göttingen University finally relented by creating its first unpaid faculty position. And as the Nazis rose to power, Noether was the very first Jewish professor fired. Her best-known legacy, called Noether's Theorem, is a cornerstone of modern theoretical physics. Barbara McClintock, born in 1902, McClintock was never able to land a professorship. However, she was one of those very few women to win a Nobel in the sciences. It was for her discovery in the 1950s that genes could switch on and off and could change locations within the chromosome. This was a breakthrough that revolutionized the infant science of genetics and completely disrupted what other geneticists thought was carved in stone.
Are you ready to take your Skeptoid experience to the next level? Head on over to skeptoid.com/gopremium to become a proud member and unlock a world of exclusive benefits. Picture this: ad-free listening and extended versions of every new episode, diving deep into the mysteries and real truth without interruption. Take this opportunity to elevate your journey and join the Skeptoid community today. Skeptoid.com/gopremium.
Dorothy Crowfoot Hodgkin, born in 1910. She was an X-ray crystallographer, one who studies photographs of the diffraction produced by X-rays passing through a crystalline structure. Using this technique, she worked out two molecular structures that most people of the day thought was beyond the capability of the technology, the structures of penicillin and vitamin B12. Like Barbara McClintock, Hodgkin was eventually given a Nobel Prize. Hertha Ayrton. Born in 1854, this close personal friend of Marie Curie made important improvements to arc lights. She was the first woman allowed to read her own paper at the Royal Society, but only after 5 years of having them read for her by men, and was never allowed to join. Over 100,000 devices called Ayrton fans, shaped according to her work in fluid dynamics, were used in World War I to dispel poison gas. Sofia Kovalevskaya. Born in 1850, she was able to continue her education in mathematics outside of Russia only through a sham marriage to an activist who was part of a group fighting for such opportunities for women. She excelled radically, editing a mathematical journal in Sweden and lecturing at Stockholm University. Her crowning achievement was winning a prize by the French Academy of Sciences in 1888 for a complex problem involving movement around a fixed point. It resulted in the Kovalevskaya top. There are three such tops: the Lagrange top, the Euler top, and the Kovalevskaya top. If you're going to be in the company of mathematicians, Lagrange and Euler are about as lofty as it gets. Elsie Widdowson. Born in 1906, she and her research partner Robert McCants essentially invented the science of nutrition. Her volume, The Chemical Compositions of Foods, published in 1940, contained 15,000 values, all established through exhaustive testing. They created a special low-cost, high-nutrition diet for Britons during World War II, and when the war ended, Widdowson traversed Germany to ensure proper nutrition for the tens of thousands of war orphans. Mary Anning. Born in 1799, she and her brother discovered the first ichthyosaur skeleton when she was only 12. It was soon followed by a plesiosaur and then a pterodactyl. She refined the processes of sketching and recording her finds to new levels. Hers were among the earliest and most complete such finds known to science, and they continued throughout her career, well-funded by investors who sold her discoveries, while male paleontologists were credited for the resulting academic work. Hilde Mangold. Born in 1898, this experimental embryologist created pipettes fine enough to transfer specific groups of cells from one amphibian embryo into another for her PhD thesis. Using them, she was able to create two-headed tadpoles. Her faculty advisor, who was not involved with the work, attached his own name to her paper, which he didn't do with anyone else's, and 11 years after her tragic accidental death at age 25, he was awarded the Nobel Prize for her work. Florence Nightingale, born in 1820, I considered not including her here because we all know her name already, but we know her as a nurse, the one who laid the foundations for modern nursing standards. But what many of us don't know is that her biggest contribution to science was as a statistician. During the Crimean War, she noted that more than 20 times as many soldiers died from disease than from wounds. She successfully lobbied for the creation of the Army Medical Department's statistical branch, and was arguably the most influential inventor of the use of data in science-based medicine. Florence Nightingale is not just the mother of changing the sheets in your hospital bed. She's also the mother of the clinical trial that created your treatment. Grace Murray Hopper. Born in 1906, this computer scientist is best known for discovering a moth jammed in a computer relay, thus coining the term bug for a computer problem. The first woman to get a PhD in mathematics from Yale also invented the compiler, one of the most basic and important processes in software. The first truly ubiquitous programming language, COBOL, was based on her work. I like her best for often threatening to come back and haunt engineers whoever used the phrase, "We've always done it this way." So there you have a Skeptoid episode-length list of some names that deserve to be better known. Obviously, it's pitifully incomplete. I could do 20 such episodes and only begin to make a dent in the list of important people. I tried to stick with women who I felt really advanced the sciences in times and places where other people weren't. One thing I learned quickly while researching this is that a book could easily be written about each of these important scientists, and it wasn't going to be very rewarding to cut each down to 2 or 3 sentences apiece. Therefore, I offer you a personal challenge. Select a scientist I've just told you about, someone whom you hadn't heard of before, and who intrigued you. Take 20 minutes and research her for yourself. There are some excellent resources listed on the webpage for this episode if you can't find them elsewhere. It will be the reward of your week, and it's well worthwhile. Many thanks to those of you who make Skeptoid possible with your tax-deductible monthly donations. You're listening to Skeptoid. I'm Brian Dunning from Skeptoid.com.
From PRX.